At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get in
zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free. Get in
zone. And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone. Get in zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. Huge show, Super Bowl week. We have the man who will call the Super Bowl, Chiefs and Niners, Jim Nantz from CBS. This will be Jim's 7th Super Bowl, 3rd Super Bowl, Tony Romo. And Jim joins us on the pod to talk about calling the Super Bowl and many other topics. Get into the reaction fans have had lately to Tony Romo. He shares his thoughts on the Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen, Tom Brady situation. But Jim makes it clear he'd love to call the NFL game in Brazil next year. That's going to be on a Friday night, opening week of the season. And some great stories in Vegas for the Super Bowl with Jim. So excellent, excellent stuff with Jim Nantz. He'll call the Super Bowl on this podcast. And following Jim, Sal Licata joins me for our weekly Train of Thought segment. We had a bunch of topics to run down: the Grammys, Super Bowl wagering, Curb Your Enthusiasm, the WWE situation, and Sal has a big house update for everyone. So you'll want to stick around for the Train of Thought segment. Before we get to it, we've had some phenomenal episodes and some really tremendous guests in recent weeks. Brian Curtis from The Ringer was on last week to go through the latest sports media news. He was outstanding. Kyle Brandt 2 weeks ago, one of the best interviews we've had recently from Good Morning Football. Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen were on the pod 3 weeks ago. So if you've missed any of those, check those out and make sure you subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. And if you leave a review on Apple, that would be greatly appreciated. All right, let's get to this episode. Jim Nantz will call the Super Bowl, followed by Sal Licata and Traina thoughts, all right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, appreciate him taking the time. No one busier this week. He is calling the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Niners. He is Jim Nantz. Jim, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. How are you?
Hello, friend. I'm doing well. If you're catching me on a day where it's media day, and you know, it's just another reminder how fortunate we are to be able to have the chance to call a game like this. The only thing it also does, though, it propels me into kind of an orbit of, let's get the game here, man. I am so ready to call this right now. Let's and just dispense with everything else we need to do. I don't need another meeting. I don't need another clip. I don't need another stat. I'm ready, man. So, you know, it's another 5 days to go, but we'll make the most out of it while we're here in Las Vegas. This is pretty cool, calling a Las Vegas Super Bowl. I got to tell you.
I want to get into all of that. And I was going to say, you're saying this on a Tuesday when we're taping this. So you got a long way to go before that kickoff on Sunday. And, you know, there's a part of me, I want to get into, obviously, Chiefs Niners. There's a part of me, I got to admit, when you were so nice to agree to come on, and, you know, in the back of my head, I said, I know I could get Jim on the week of the Super Bowl. And it made me extra bummed out last week that Dan Campbell decided not to coach the game properly and the Lions didn't make it to the Super Bowl, because it would have been a full circle moment for you and I, because I had you on last season before Thanksgiving. I said, no more Lions on Thanksgiving. You straightened me out. You said, bad take, Jimmy. And you said, they're going to keep it closed against Buffalo. And I'm going to mention your name. You kept your promise. You did that. And now year later, the Lions should have been in the Super Bowl. So full circle. It could have been a full circle moment for you and I if the Lions were in this game, as they should be.
And I would have mentioned your name yet again. This time it would have been in the Super Bowl, Jimmy. You still never know, but what a season they had. I missed most of that game. Of course, I've gone back to watch it since, but watching it live is a lot different than knowing what the next play is going to be when you watch it on tape. Yeah. It was an incredible season. He rolled the dice so many times this year, so he didn't go against kind of what his core belief was. And all you got to do is look back at the finish of that Dallas game when they kept backing him up, and he still kept going for the two.
I don't want to get into all that, but that's, to me, that Dallas, what you just pointed out in that Dallas game and what happened in the NFC title game, it did feel to me, like, I feel like the going for it on fourth down, it almost became like Dan Campbell's shtick. At some point, like the NFC title game, you got to put the shtick aside. It's not week six against, the Titans. This is, you go up three scores in the third quarter, but that's not for us to get into now. But how great, though, a Lions Super Bowl would have been tremendous for you guys. Does it bother you at all? Listen, you're going to love calling this game. It's going to be a great game. You have two great teams. The talent on both teams is immense. But it is a rematch, so to speak, because they met in the Super Bowl a few years ago. When you call a rematch, do you do a lot of research on that first game? Are you going to give us a lot from that first Super Bowl between these teams?
I don't think it's much more than a mention, even if it amounts to that, because you're dealing with this new animal called a live football game in front of you. So there's so much pregame buildup, so many stories. They've all been told. It doesn't bother me one bit that it's a rematch from 4 years ago. It's not last year. And by the way, there could be another one next year. These teams are young. They've got star players, got great coaching. I'm pretty good encyclopedia here of knowledge about the Super Bowl. And there have been great Super Bowl rematches. Dallas and Pittsburgh especially were great matchups and happened after a couple of years apart. And I think that's what we're going to have here. I do. I know people say, well, Dallas, Buffalo wasn't sensational, but I think this one has the ingredients with the star power. The game's a toss-up in my mind, and we're about to see what I think will be the most watched show in the history of television.
Without a doubt.
Just so many things are giving us positive momentum going in.
And is that important to you? Do you care about that? Really. 115 million people watched last year's Super Bowl. It was the record. It's going to get broken this year without a doubt. Does it mean anything to say, me and Tony called the most watched Super Bowl of all time?
We've done it before. It was kind of one of those things that it's kind of like the quarterback salary chase in the NFL. The next guy up gets the record. So, I've had it, I don't know, four or five times already in my career, including Super Bowl 50, which fittingly was the Golden Game 50. And that was the most watched show. I have yet to have anybody put a little extra money in my paycheck or pick up a dinner for me back home. Didn't you call the game that was the most watched? Hey, bring a bottle of wine over to Nance's table. But hey, I don't want to minimize it because there is a little bit of pride. More than a little bit of pride to be able to have that show.
Yeah.
And it means something to a lot of the people on my CBS team. And not just our broadcast team. I'm talking our CBS sales. And, it would be a nice mark to have. I expect we're going to get it. And I don't want to minimize it. It's next year, somebody else will come out. The next game will probably break it next year.
Yeah. You will get it because the ratings have been crazy this year, especially in the postseason. Now, you touched on it briefly earlier. It will be, I think it would be shocking if this isn't a close game. What makes me a little nervous is you and Tony behind the mic, because your first two Super Bowls, we had the Rams Patriots complete dud snore fest. And then you had the Bucks 31-9 over the Chiefs. So hopefully you and Tony, you don't go three strikes and you're out here. We need you and Tony to get a close one here.
I didn't know we were going to be having to defend ourselves on the outcome of these games. But yeah, you know what? You're right. We haven't had good games. I didn't realize the announcers could influence history like that.
Yeah.
And in some ways, really, before Tony, I've had a string of not so interesting Super Bowl matchups. Had a couple that were good.
What was your best one?
I think you could argue the Harbaugh Bowl. People forget how interesting it was at the end of the game because everything was about the power outage after the game.
Right.
You know, there was the 40-minute power outage, 35 minutes, whatever it was. But people forget San Francisco, with inside 2 minutes, had four passes into the end zone from the five-yard line. I think three of the four passes went to Crabtree, and Kaepernick was the quarterback, and they were all incomplete. And then there was a defensive stand by San Francisco and use of their timeouts, and the Ravens took a safety. And, you know, the game still came down to the last play, which was a free kick and a run back. And it was 34-31 game. Actually, it was a pretty good game. Again, I think it got completely lost because of the outage.
Yeah. Third Super Bowl with Tony. How many overall for you is this going to be now?
This will be the seventh that I've been on play-by-play. So I had the JB role for 2 years, Super Bowl 35, which was a snooze fest. That was the Ravens 35-7 over the Giants. And I had the Carolina-New England game, which was a Vinatieri winning kick, hosting that with Dan Marino, Dion, and Boomer. And that was my last one as the host. So seven play-by-play as of Sunday.
So tell me, from the first to the seventh, what have you learned, or what do you do differently in the week up to the game? Can you over-prepare? Do you prepare a little less because maybe you used to over-prepare? Do you pace yourself during the week in the build-up to Sunday? Give me what you've learned from 1 to 7.
That's a great Super question, Bowl first off. And what I'm learning is to pace myself on the reading. I already have so many anecdotal stories. I mean, it is information overload. What I've learned is to really not back off on the prep. I still want to make sure I'm not missing anything. But just to maybe prioritize it a little bit less. This is a game where there definitely needs to be more air. You know, it's going to be a great scene. I think, like you, I think it's going to be a competitive game. I don't want to drown people with information overload from me. I want to focus on the game. And that's what I've just really learned, is just pace it out. I'm early in the week. I'm already ready to call the game.
Yeah.
It happened right now. Somebody said, hey, they decided to play the game over here in the convention hall. I wouldn't need a board. I wouldn't need anything in front of me. I know the names, the numbers, all the vital stories. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Well, this one's interesting, too, because you say you want to maybe pull back a little bit on the anecdotal, focus on the game. But there's so much. There's so many. The characters and storylines are in such abundance with the Mahomes on pace to be the greatest ever. Kelsey, we know what he is, and the best tight end. Andy Reid, a great story. Shanahan, coach's son, trying to get his first Super Bowl. McCaffrey is almost underrated. He's so good. Kittle, I mean, you can really load up here with these two teams on the characters, the stories.
There's no shortage. There's no question. Yeah. I mean, there's just. But what is it? I mean, how many times are you going to talk about Travis Kelce and George Kittle? I actually think that's a sneaky good thing to watch in the game. Best tight end wins.
Yep.
Because they're both capable of having 8 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns, and they become unstoppable, and that becomes the difference in the game. So maybe an 85 versus 87 match up is something to watch out for. I might try to sell that for our opening. In fact, now that it's leaving my lips,
I think
all of these stories you're telling, though, and you're pitching that these are out there. It's not a story that you're telling with paragraphs. It's the stories that you're telling in two sentences. Mm. That's the art of it, is being able to tell that story, make sense, be cogent, and be done and in and out in 15 to 20. And even better when you can tell it together with your teammate, with Tony. Right. And you move on to the next play. Every play in these games, Jimmy, is a chapter. I say this, and I mean it. I remind myself there's going to be roughly 130 plays on Sunday, give or take 10. That's 130 chapters. You never know which chapter you open up is going to be the chapter that sells the book, that tells the story. So you got to be ready for every one of them.
Now, so when you guys do a Sunday 425 game, and whether you guys have it or Fox has it with Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, that's always the most watched game of the week. You get anywhere from 20, 25, 30 million during the regular season. You're going to have 120 million people watching on Sunday. How much do you have to cater to those 80 million who aren't there weeks 1 through 16, or do you don't cater to them at all?
I think you're asking, am I going to dumb it down a little bit? In terms of you've got the fringe fan that's going to be in here.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you have to be slick because there is some of that. There's also a lot of people watching in groups and maybe not even hearing what we're saying. In many, many millions of cases, the TV's on. They can't even hear you because there are 50 people talking at one time.
Yeah.
I'm always aware, I think I am, of what the audience needs to know and the depth of that story, where you want to go with it. So it's something that makes sense. But I've talked about it before. It has to flow through me. I have to feel it. I don't script it. I don't write it out and pull a card out and say, okay, let me tell a story here about George Kittle. So, Tony, you know, George Kittle started this thing called the tight end U. You know, and I'm reading it off of a card. No, it's none of that. It has to be the right time. It has to match up with either a graphic or a replay. Where are they going with the visuals on this thing? You just kind of move along. Mm. It has to flow through you.
Let me ask you this about the Super Bowl. You've been covering the NFL for a very, very, very long time. Like we said, you're on your seventh Super Bowl. Did you ever think we'd have one in Las Vegas?
No. Well, I did in the last... Before they got it, you could see the trend where it was going. It changed so quickly.
Yes.
I mean, it went from taboo to even talk about being able to talk about anything that would be in this universe to, hey, we have a franchise here. And hey, we have a Super Bowl here. And now every league wants to send a team here. 10 years ago, Tony had a business guy with a fantasy football league. And there was a convention here in Las Vegas and it got brought to a halt. I don't know exactly by whom, but it was stopped because it wasn't, the optics didn't look good. It was just fantasy football. Now, you know, we're in a different space. I want to add one thing. You said, how do you prepare the week any differently? I don't want to do anything crazy, but I want to enjoy this experience. This is something I'm going to look back on one day and say, we were the first to ever do a game in Las Vegas. Well, what'd you do? I sat in my room and read the whole time. I don't want to do that. Yeah. So I started out with gusto on Monday. I had a golf event in Pebble Beach. We had a horrible storm. My house still doesn't have power, but I had to get here. So I came in on Monday and I set the pace on Monday. Monday night, I went out to dinner. I called and I asked for the honor of the company of Brent Musburger. So I had dinner with Brent last night. And I can't think of anything I'm going to enjoy more the rest of the week than sitting down and having a 3-hour dinner and being regaled by someone with whom I worked many shows when I was a kid in my 20s and was his understudy and used the same studio and sat in a chair that had his name on the back of it. When I was doing the college football scoreboard show on Saturday, he was doing the NFL Today on Sunday, or we were working the Masters together, or whatever it might be, working the Final Four together. And he said his goodbye to CBS. He threw it back to me, and I thanked him on behalf of CBS. And I looked up to him so much before I became a member of the CBS family in 1985. And, you know, really, Jimmy, he was maybe the one person in my life that the words always came out upside down. I was so in awe of him. I've met a lot of people I could never have imagined. I've had dinners, I've told you before, with presidents and queens, the Queen of England. But I had an easier time speaking to them than I did to Brent. Not that it was that awkward. It's just self-consciously, I felt like, ooh, I'm sounding
I know that feeling because I've had
I'm
it.
Not grammatically giving him sentences that make sense. So it was timed from a 26-year-old to a 64-year-old to sit down as mentor and pupil, as colleague and friends, and have dinner. And we did that on Monday night. And it was
You're killing me because I know we have limited time and I could do an hour with you on the dinner with Brent. I mean, I can do a whole separate podcast on your dinner with Brent, but, and I'm sure he's got a lot to say about the Super Bowl being in Vegas and what's going on with that. So, but let me, I had Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football on the podcast last week. And, Kyle was telling me that he's employed by the NFL, NFL Network, that there is strict, like he's not even allowed near the casinos, obviously the sports books, everything's, you're not an NFL Network employee, but you're calling, like, can you go into the, not the sports book, but can you enjoy the casino if you want to play a little blackjack?
Well, no one's told me that I couldn't do that.
Okay. You can't obviously go in a sports book though, I would assume.
I have the better judgment to know I'm not going near a sports book. By the way, it's not a lot of fun. There's so many people here that are football fans. They're expecting 300,000 to be here, even though only 70,000 will be at the game. So walking through casinos right now, I'm not trying to sound like a hotshot, but it's not something I want to spend a lot of time doing.
Will we play any casino games while we're here for the week? Will Jim Nance sit down at a blackjack table, roulette, craps, anything, or we're passing on that this week?
Depends on how many people are around. Now, okay. The second thing that I did on Monday, now I set pretty crazy pace here, is I went out into the desert somewhere after dinner with Brent, with a few of my colleagues and David Copperfield last night. I'd seen his show here in Vegas when I was calling a regular season game with the Raiders. Pretty amazing. You know, he's does two or three shows a night. Still going strong. I mean, stronger than ever. And I had a chance to tell him that in October. So he said, hey, if you get back and you want to see something cool, I'm working on something down the road. But it's going to need to be kind of after midnight. I said, can I bring a couple of my colleagues and friends with me? He said, yeah, you can bring up to three. So I did. The four of us went with David. And we went somewhere off-road. And we were given the gift of watching the moon disappear. I saw with my own eyes. I mean, it was the moon. And I wanted to ask him, but I didn't. Why didn't you bring it back? But it disappeared. And that was that's a pretty impressive. Let me get a feel for being in Vegas. I go out with Brent. You know, Brent is so sharp. He could still be doing anything. He knows everything about the league. His recall about his history and everybody I've worked with, you would have been like the perfect guy to be at that dinner. I know this is right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went out last night and it was 2:00 when we got back from point unknown, pitch dark, well outside of Las Vegas. And I'm walking through the casino and there's like one guy slumped over a blackjack table. And I thought, this is the time. Maybe one hand and run.
And what happened?
I was fishing for my money clip, and the guy looked up at me like, I'm on a roll here. You know that feeling when you're sitting on third base and the last thing you want is somebody to pull back a chair on first base? And I had this look like, please, I've got this table to myself. And I thought, maybe another night.
I hear you. You have plenty of time to get it in. Plenty of time.
But if I'm walking by a roulette board, a roulette table, and 17 black is my color for my birthday and all, and that's the number that James Bond, I believe, always played anyway, was 17.
Here's what you need to do, if I may. If you pass the roulette table, number 7 you play, it's your 7th Super Bowl. You got to throw 20 on number 7. $20 on number 7.
You want to be partners in this?
Sure. I'll Venmo you $20. Play number 7.
No, let me wait. Listen. Yeah. I had a friend one time. His name's Jim Tunney. He presided over 3 Super Bowls as a referee. The legend, Jim Tunney. Yeah, he should be in Canton. And he used to say about Art McNally that if there was ever one person in my life, he said, Jim, until I met you, that I could play poker with on the phone with all my money, my life savings, he said, it'd be Art McNally. So if I play.
Yeah, give me a call when you're at the roulette table and number seven.
Take out my phone.
Yeah.
And play seven.
Yeah. All right, it's your seventh Super Bowl. You got to do it.
And seven's been a good number for me for a lot of reasons. Seventh hole at Pebble Beach, etc.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Let me turn this, because now I got to get ugly here for a minute. We've discussed this before. I don't want to belabor it, but you're not on Twitter, so you're not seeing the week to week on Tony and you as a team. I know Tony came out last week, said he thinks everything's fine. I had Brian Curtis on this podcast. We don't understand sort of the Tony backlash. Is it bothering you guys at all that there seems to be Tony backlash?
Never had one conversation with Tony about it. Not one. I mean, I take it kind of as a foregone conclusion from what people tell me that everybody gets it. You've told me that before. You're the one that's told me before, don't go on there.
100%. But it's become a thing with Tony now where I and I've said this many times. I don't think half the people bashing Tony actually mean it. I think it's a piggyback effect, but there are a lot of people who have criticisms of Tony. I still enjoy Tony, and then I get crap for that, but it's pretty vocal. And I know you're not on Twitter, and I know Tony doesn't pay attention to Twitter, but I'm curious if it's gotten back to you guys at all.
I've assumed it. I just assumed it. No, I'm not aware that it's ratcheted up more this year, if that's what you're telling me. Mm-hmm. Now, people say, oh, wait a minute. Don't you people send you sometimes clips or something on Twitter? Sure. But how I would get from there to see what people are saying about Tony? No, I mean, I wouldn't even think about it. I'm going to use my own judgment of how the broadcasts are going. And I couldn't be happier. I mean, I love working with Tony. We have, for anybody to ever even think that, well, again, I'm not even sure this is what they're saying. Our chemistry is great. Our time together is just like it is on the air. We have a lot of laughter, a lot of fun. We see silliness. Sometimes we bring that silliness to the air. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. That's humor. But no, I don't want to say any more about it, because you're asking me something that I'm not familiar with. We're trying the best we can. I know we've had a super year, and I really feel good about it going into the game.
Fair enough. Let me get your take on this as a long, long time respected top play-by-play guy. What can share with me what you can about what you think things are like right now for Kevin Burkhardt, who did 2 years with Greg Olsen, who became a fan favorite. Everyone thought Greg did a great job, and he did. And now that's being broken up because Tom's coming in, and to me, you can't question the decision by Fox. He's Tom Brady. Greatest quarterback of all time. You want him on your network. You want him on your air. And so much of the hullabaloo about it is focused on Greg and Tom. I'm fascinated by the Burkhart role in all this. Is he walking a tightrope? You know, it's like he's cheating on Greg, but he's going to work with Brady, which has got to be cool. Can he say it's cool? He's working with, you know, what, if Kevin came to you for some advice, what would you tell him?
You know, he just got to do what he's doing because we don't make those decisions. He didn't make that decision. And right. I think you try to be authentic. I don't know Kevin really well, but we've exchanged some really nice texts through the years. And I'm going to see him Thursday night. Tony's getting the Pat Summerall Award. And I'm going to be his presenter. And Kevin is the host. So deep admiration for him. And I think that when I watch the broadcast with Kevin and Greg, I think there's something that's good between the two of them. I think there's a real respect and appreciation. That's what it feels like as a viewer. That's what you want. That's what I feel like we have. I know we have. And listen, Greg understood this, is going into this season, maybe even knew it before last year that this was going to happen. He's done a great job. And I can't imagine he could interpret it any of those ways that you said. Oh, it's like he's been cheating on me. Kevin's doing his job. He's doing what he's being asked to do, and he's doing it well. And I'm sure Greg understands that.
Has Tom come to you for any broadcasting advice? You don't have to tell me what you've said to him, but have you talked to Tom Brady at all about him becoming?
I saw Tom on Saturday. He was at Pebble Beach, and we talk as friends quite often. I would say quite often, maybe, you know, every other month, maybe every third month. We text more often than that. And I know that he's very excited about this next endeavor in his life. And I know he wants to be good at it. We know how Tom went about being the GOAT. We know how he left nothing unturned. And you know, you can't replace reps. And I believe they're getting reps as we speak right now. I'm always rooting for Tom. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to know Tom and Peyton. They're both friends of mine. You can be friends of them both because they're both friends. But I think he's more than looking for a play-by-play guy to tell him how to do it. I think he's been mining the commentary field from the analysts.
It's interesting, too, because I think you and Tony are almost in a way a little bit responsible for what's going on with Tom, because Tony was really the first one who went from field to number one analyst and was great right off the bat, won everybody over, right? And I think networks, everyone wants to try to copy that. Now, listen, this is Tom Brady. If you're not going to get Tom Brady and put him on the fourth regional game and have him do, you know, Texans, Titans, like, you're going to make him the star of your network. But, you know, Tony, if people forget, most people don't go from the field in 1 year to the A job, which Tony did and blew everyone away. So I think you guys have a little hand in the Brady situation.
Well, Tom will do really well. I don't have any doubt. He'll do really well. Greg's a young guy. He's going to have a long, long career. And one thing I learned a long time ago from people like Brent and from people like Pat Summerall, I know we live in a world where you want everything now, 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 now. Give me this right now. And if you can just be patient, the good and glorious things that come your way, if you just let time take care of itself. I'm speaking like a 64-year-old wise man who has all the answers, but it's been really true. That was advice that was given to me by people like those broadcasters I mentioned, producers like Frank Trakinian. It's been something that I've never been overly anxious that I've got to have this now.
Right.
Enjoy the ride. Just like I am enjoying the week in Las Vegas, man, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm grateful. I don't, Jimmy, root against anybody. I had this chat with some golf media recently, and they were like, they're trying to make it hyper competitive. I don't look at it that way.
Right.
People say, oh, you can't really be true. It, like that. It's true. Yeah. I'm not rooting against anyone, for heaven's sake. I want everybody to do their best. And then let me try to be my best.
Yep. You guys are going to all get great ratings.
And people that want to take shots and whatever, and they live in a community where they feel like they're a part of a community, they have a same thought, that's okay.
Listen, whether it's Nance and Romo, Burkhart and Brady, 4:25 on Sunday, you get a good game, you're going to get your 25 million people watching.
I want to tell you about that. I'm glad you brought that up earlier, too.
All right. I want to do a couple of rapid fire with you. And I know I got to let you go. Go ahead.
I think sometimes it's not, and maybe it's our own doing. I don't think that the 4:25 window for both of us, CBS and Fox, is really, I'm a storyteller. Mm-hmm. My story on that would be to bifurcate the composite rating that we have, taking the 1 o'clock games and the 4:25 and blending them and saying, hey, this was our season rating. No, the 1 o'clock window is its own category.
Right.
And the 4:25 window is its own package.
Yep. And it's
that
the best package.
Doesn't get set often enough.
Right.
It's the best number package. One package by far. In the NFL. And this year, CBS's 4:25 window, it's
huge.
Not this way every year, was fractionally, I mean, really fractions ahead, like 50,000 viewer average ahead of Fox. So at the end of the year, I'm not a PR guy. Nobody asked me this, but as a storyteller, my story would be CBS had the number one package in the NFL this year. The 4:25 window on CBS was the highest rated window. I don't want to hear about that being blended with the 1 o'clock window.
Yeah.
I want to know about windows, because 8 o'clock on NBC is its own separate window. Monday Night Football is its own separate window. Let's talk about separate windows. And we had a phenomenal year. And we're,
you had a lot of great games. And the quarterbacks in the AFC help, even though it's not AFC NFC anymore. But I know I got to let you go. Let me just ask you some quickies here, and then you can just give me quick answers. They announced the NFL is going to be a Friday night game in Brazil, week one. The NFL told me today they don't know who's airing the game. Would you want CBS? Would you want to do that game?
I already said it like three times today. I want the game.
You want that game.
See, I love to travel. I love seeing the world. Today, we had our media conference. I did interviews with two or three outlets in Australia. These are people that see my work because the golf travels really well around the world. I had two different journalists from Ireland, one from London, one from Belgium. The world is shrinking. Much more so than it was what it was like when I was a kid growing up. And I want to see the world. I haven't been to Brazil. I would love to do that first. I'm making a big pitch here to all the people in the NFL office that put the schedule together. They're friends of mine. We want this game. And I promise you, we'll do it justice.
All right, Jim. In a month, we will have March Madness. It will be your first March Madness, where we don't have Jim Nance on CBS in many, 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 many years. Are you getting a little verklempt about that? Are you okay with it? Where do we stand a month off from, you get the itch? Where are we with that?
I'm very comfortable with the decision that was made in 2021 to earmark Houston in 23 as the place to exit stage left. I'm excited for the tournament coming up. My Houston Cougars will be right in the middle of it. I think I'm going to be doing some traveling to their games. Hopefully it's a long, long run. But it was the right decision. I don't want to be on the road too much. As I avowed when the news first came out, I want more time with my kids. So no looking back on this one. I mean, this was the right thing to do at this point in my life.
Last one. I wrote this in my column the day after. I loved your call on Tyler Bass's missed field goal in the Chiefs-Bills game. It happened very fast, but if you can, tell me when Norwood first came into your brain. Was it when the kick was being set up? Did you not think about wide right till the ball was sailing wide right? The call wasn't planned. It was spontaneous, but if you can, I'd love it. I'd love it how it all came about for you on that call. Because you said the dreaded words.
It happened as soon as the ball went right of the goalpost. And I knew the symmetry. I have a pretty good, maybe even underrated knowledge of the history of the NFL. Dates, records, names. I could be a really good partner in Trivial Pursuit for the NFL. And it's all in my head. And it's a moment away. And I'm proud of it. I think sometimes my depth of knowledge for golf, people think, well, he just has that for golf. I know I have it for football. I've been blessed with a good memory. And it came to me right away. And how I said it, I didn't really know. Jen Sabatel was with us that weekend in Buffalo. And
she's CBS's PR person, for people who don't know. Go ahead.
Exceptional PR person. And as soon as we took the headset off, she said, wow, that was really a good call. And Jimmy, I'm going to tell you, the first thing I said to her, what did I say? I didn't know exactly what I had said. So again, my instincts told me to say wide right. And the two most dreaded words in Buffalo have resurfaced again. I mean, I don't know. I was fortunate. I had context.
What strikes me is the viewer. Yeah. Well, I know you know the history. I know you know the history. What impresses me as the viewer and someone is how fast it's got to come together for you. Because the kick misses, you got to go to commercial right away. You're not going to have a bunch of time to dwell on it. Tony's got to say what he says, but you manage to get in the phrase that drives it all home.
And it happened right on the spot. I mean, right after it was missed. And I felt good about it. And I could have, if somebody had given me some time and would have said, hey, write it out. Write something that's not just wide right. Say something that's a little sweeter than that. I mean, I'm not trying to applaud what I said. I didn't even know what I had said. It just was pure instincts coming out at that time. Talked about it before. It was flowing through me. And thankfully, the good man upstairs was looking after me, and I was feeling lost in the moment. And that's what I probably would have said if I was sitting on my couch at home.
Well, hopefully you get a moment like that on Sunday with the Niners and the Chiefs in Las Vegas. Mm. And again, it would be shocking if this one's not a one-score game, 10-point game in the fourth quarter. It just, those teams are too good either way to have it not be close. And, you know, I've had this conversation, you know, we always talk about all announcers want is one thing, close games. And you really need, in a Super Bowl close game, who knows how high that rating could get. If you get, you know, 7-point game in the fourth quarter, the records will be broken in a massive way.
Now, Sean McManus presided over our media session today. And before, it was in a ballroom at the convention center, and there were probably 200 people out there and a lot of cameras on them. And we had everybody that's a part of the Nickelodeon and the main CBS broadcast, the production teams and all the on-air members as well on the stage behind him. And at the end, he said he has been told by the NFL that the game is going to go to double overtime. So the boys roared with laughter, which is what I thought. If it goes to double overtime, now there are going to be all these conspiracy theories out there. Yes, see, so now, you know, again, we're going to pay credence to that, and people are going to say CBS knew the whole time.
Yeah,
I hope he was right, though. I hope he was foreshadowing something kind of like that. Anyway,
has there ever been a Super Bowl that has gone to overtime?
No, the first overtime game was the Atlanta New England game.
That went to overtime.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. 20. Right. The 20. Yeah. Yeah.
34-28. Right.
Yeah. I think of that game as over way before when. Yeah. Well, I appreciate
they
you coming
ran right
on.
Down the field. New England ran right down the field. James White scored the winner.
Yep.
And Atlanta never touched the football in overtime. Of course, the rules have changed since then.
Why is Belichick not the coach of the Falcons? Do you have any info on that?
I mean, you're hearing the same thing from everyone that it could have been viewed as inside. Some people would have been concerned what that might have meant to their power inside the franchise. It may have not been fully endorsed by enough people. And maybe, listen, maybe a year for Bill to sit on the sideline, do a little television work. I don't know anything about that right now, but do a little television work. He's going to get a job again.
I was just going to say, here's one for you. CBS comes to you. Bill's going to take a year off and then get back into coaching. We want to stick him with you and Tony for the year. What do you think?
I have a great relationship with Bill. Again, like I told you when you asked me about Kevin Burkhardt, I'm grateful more than anything. My life is the beacon that my life is always running toward, is one seeking and feeling a real depth of gratitude. And I don't ask those things. Those, if I'm told that's what we're doing.
If Belichick came to you and said, Jim, I want some advice. Should I do studio or should I do games? What would you tell him?
Well, I would think that in Bill's case, he's going to get another chance.
Yeah.
I would think it'd be more beneficial for him to go out and do a game to see from the box, to see the game in person, go to practices and things like that.
I mean,
I think he'd be very good at it. But you know, I saw the NFL Network special they had a couple years ago. He was sitting on the desk with
Rick, and he
was very good on that. It doesn't surprise me.
No.
I mean, he would be exceptional. And who knows? Maybe that's in the works right now with people. Yep. I look forward to the day, though, when he goes back to pursuing a winning team and getting the records that I think he deserves, getting the overall win total.
Yeah, I'm bummed he's not coaching next year. It looks better if he's in it, plain and simple.
He'll get back.
Yeah. I appreciate it. And enjoy. What? Give me. Is the weather? Is you gonna be okay weather by Sunday?
Yeah, you know that's not gonna be a factor because we're inside Allegiant. But the weather here on the weekend is gonna be back to looking like we're in the desert,
right?
You know,
with
bright sunshine and blue skies. We're gonna be just fine.
Should be a great game. Mahomes, Purdy, McCaffrey, Kelsey, Reach. It's you guys are set up for a good one.
Swift,
enjoy it. I was trying to avoid that.
You know what? I admire you for doing that. I had to bring it up, but
yeah,
she's. Yeah.
I will say, out of all the networks, the one who hasn't overdone it is CBS.
Yeah, well, we have a director and a producer, Mike Arnold and Jim Rickoff, who are not that they've tried to neglect it. They've done it. They've done it tastefully, and she's gotten her on air time with all of us. But we've had her on 7 or 8 games so far this year.
Yeah.
And I think it's been great with the interest she's brought to the NFL. Listen, I have a son who's going to be at the game, and I have 2 daughters, and they adore her. And that's got their interest level up a lot more in this game than it was the last time I did a Super Bowl, I can promise you. And I'm sure that there's going to be people just like my Caroline and my Finley. I took Finley to the New Year's Eve game in Kansas City. Cincinnati at KC was the 425 national doubleheader game.
Yeah.
And she wanted to have a chance to catch a glimpse of the great Taylor Swift. And she did. She didn't get to meet her.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for her. You know, she's 9 years old. It's a big deal. And my daughter will be watching, so that's a good thing.
And if you have to present the trophy to Travis Kelce.
Uh-oh. You're going to say this one scenario people have been pitching to me that he's going to make
I'm not that stupid. What I was going to say is, if you're presenting the trophy to Travis and she's down there, your daughter might want to get a little, can I get close to dad? Which will then maybe
be on the, they will not be on the field. But I'm going to leave you with this.
Yes, go ahead.
I told you my approach to the week. I'm not going crazy.
Right.
I'm soaking it in. This is the one. There's only going to be a first Super Bowl ever at Vegas. It's going to be dozens and dozens to come next decades and centuries. But, Jimmy, you've got to fight for your right to party.
I mean, I'll see. And bet number 7. And bet number 7 at the roulette table. Number 7. All right, take care, Jim. Appreciate it. Have a great game.
Jimmy. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Enjoy it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right, joining me now, as he does every week, for our weekly Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how are you?
I feel like we have a lot of catching up to do.
We do. We do. I have a lot of topics. A lot of topics.
All right.
Well, let's... Obviously, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Let's start with this. Did you watch the Grammys on Sunday?
I did not. Oh, okay. Watch it. I knew about it. I actually did want to see some of the performances. I have not taken the time yet to go back and watch.
Okay. So you saw none of it?
No.
All right.
That shoots down. Here's what I saw that bothered me.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to start shit here. I'm being dead ass serious.
Okay.
How does Travis Kelce not show up to that?
You're being serious right now?
Dead serious.
I can't do this conversation.
I'm just telling you that's what I'm not trying to be. Well, you got to put yourself in relationship shoes here. Relationship shoes.
But yeah, you got to put yourself in Super Bowl shoes.
No, it's what you tell. What do you do? He sat in the hotel room the whole night and studied film.
I think they traveled on Sunday. I think that's when they.
You're Travis Kelce. Figure it out. It's a few hours away. Like. She's traveled around. Like she went to Buffalo, of all places, to watch him play football.
I'm going to be 100% honest here. I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I'm not doing it on the pod because I'll get in trouble. Okay. But so.
All right. We'll talk about
because she decides to show up to every game. He's got to show. Like, I'm not getting into it.
I get it.
But relax.
How was Billy Joel?
Here's the thing. So I'll say a couple. This is what I wanted to say about the Grammys. Number one, I love Miley Cyrus.
I missed it. I heard about it. I got
to
go back.
You're not allowed to, like, you know, objectify anyone, but just say big fan of Miley Cyrus's performance.
Interesting. And
she can sing her ass off.
Okay.
So, like, everyone's going crazy about Tracy Chapman and Luke Combs. Now, I wouldn't have known Luke Combs if he fell at me until Sunday night. I don't do country music in any way, shape, or form. Don't follow it. Don't know it. I actually have like a visceral hatred for it because it, like, I hear it and it makes my skin crawl. Every song's the same, like, you know, going down to drink some beers and whatever, shoot my guns. But like, it was a good performance and it was enjoyable to watch. But like, I would have much rather seen Tracy Chapman sing the song by herself. Like, she's got some voice in the way she performed it. Like, so, I understand, like, he remade the song. His remake of the song became a huge hit. Of course he has to sing it. I would have liked to have seen her do it by herself because she's so good.
So he actually, I thought it was just a song with the same title. He actually redid the song?
Yeah, like a cover. Like, you know, the people remake songs all the time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the original, obviously, and because of the Grammys, I went back and listened to that several times over the last week. But
right.
I didn't realize that his, I just thought his was a different version with the same title. I didn't
know same exact song. So they did a duet.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing? It was Miley Cyrus. It was that. And I don't know. I guess those are my, there was one other thing I wanted to say about it, but I can't
Nothing
remember.
Nothing from Billy Joel. You love Billy Joel.
No, here's the thing. I'm one of those jerks who, and I get it. This is all, like, I don't want to hear new stuff. Like, I would have rather have done scenes from an Italian restaurant. Like, I don't, you know.
You don't like his new song?
It's okay. I mean, it's.
Oh, I actually love it. I think it's been great.
All right. Well, I'm glad. I'm not, I'm just, like, my thing is if Billy Joel's going to perform, he did an old song. Like, but this is, so if you go back and watch it, it was actually pretty funny because it was so bad. So he did the new song, great. It was like the last performance of the night, I guess. Then they do the album of the year or the record, whatever it was, the big award. Then he did a song to finish the show, and he did an old song. He did, I think he did You May Be Right.
Oh, no, okay. Nice. Or, okay.
He did it, yeah. So, but when he did the last song, which was a quote-unquote oldie but goodie, everyone was leaving. And it looked so bizarre on TV. Everyone's standing up and walking out, and he's singing an old song. It was not good television from that standpoint. But they got a big rating for the Grammys. It was like 16 million people. So, but they had, you know, like Taylor Swift was there. She didn't perform. Kelly Clarkson was there. She didn't perform. Beyonce was there. She didn't perform. I don't know. It would have been nice. Like, I forget the awards. Just have people sing.
So. All right.
Did you watch the first episode of the final season of Curb?
Yes, I did watch that.
Spoilers are coming.
I had to
so
do
if
some
you,
homework. I knew you were going to ask me about that one.
Thought it was okay. Didn't think it was a great episode, but the scene in the car with Siri was the best scene of the night.
Oh my God. Yeah, because we've all been through
We've
that.
All been there.
We've all been there. I actually thought it was very good. I thought that there were, I don't know if I would say I love the episode as a whole piece, but there were a lot of individual funny moments.
Agreed. I thought the scene with Siri was the best scene. I love the scene when he's in the hotel, asks the guy in the hotel where something is. You know, I think he said, like, where do I get breakfast? And the guy's like, I'll walk with you. And he's like, no, just tell me where it is. No, I'll walk. And then the silence during the walk was so good.
Dick Dial.
And Leon with the dick dial was phenomenal. Yeah. Those were, for me, the three highlights were those three things. This is going to be a spoiler, a major spoiler, but I was blown away by the brilliance of it. So I have to say, I got an email from a reader. I should give full credit. Let me see. I'm just going to pull it up here real quick because it came in today. Here it is. Mike Rizzi. And I was blown away when I read this email. Jimmy, love the media podcast. I have a prediction on how Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to end. Spoiler if somehow you missed the season opener. Larry is going to be found guilty of violating he wrote Florida, but it was the Georgia election law. The show is then going to end with him in a jail cell. It will almost be a middle finger to everyone that hated the Seinfeld finale. I think
be great.
I think my listener, Mike Rizzi, is onto something because Jerry had teased that at one of his comedy shows that him and Larry were, that they were doing something that had to do with the Seinfeld finale. So I have a funny feeling that may be what we're in store for.
He ends up in the same jail cell as
that could be,
else.
Maybe sees Jerry walking out of jail and
get out. Yeah, that'd be.
I don't know if Mike Rizzi came up with that on his own. I have a very smart listener in the SI Media podcast world. That was good. That was brilliant. So, what else? Oh, I thought of you right away. When the NFL announced this week that the first week of the season, they're going to have a game.
Fucking Friday game. Yeah. Just get to it, Goodell. Play a game every fucking day of the week. I mean, already.
Sign me up, baby.
Friday. I said, so wait, is it an addition to the Thursday or just
that? Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
I thought maybe it was in place of the Thursday night opener.
No.
So it's Thursday night opener.
But here's what's sick about it. What's sick about it is they say opening week, we're going to have the Thursday night opener that airs on NBC. It'll be whoever wins the Super Bowl, you know, in that game problem. And then the next night, Friday night, the Eagles, they don't know the opponent yet, are playing a game on Friday night in Brazil. And my first thought was, oh, my God, I can't wait to get Sal's reactions. He's going to flip out.
Yeah, I saw it and I kind of just ignored it because it makes me so angry to a point where I just assumed and maybe was hoping that they're moving Thursday to Friday, not in addition. Thursday, Friday, just take over Saturdays as well. Monday, why leave even like, okay, maybe you need a little rest on Tuesday, but just get right into it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Why not?
Sign me up.
Make it like a work week, 5 days a week, NFL.
You're annoyed now? Wait till they announce that that game is going to be on Paramount Plus only.
Yeah. And what's the start time being that it's in Brazil?
Is I don't know. I don't know. But he said Friday night. So I'm going to Google right now. What time is it in?
I'm not sure the time zone on that one, but.
Yeah, I'm not a time zone guy.
Brazil. But, I mean, come on, bro.
And that game. So, well, okay. So we're. Oh, they're only 2 hours ahead of us.
Oh, okay. So,
so that could be like a 7 p.m. Eastern start, maybe 6 p.m. Eastern start. But I do think I reached out to the NFL about what network's going to air it, and they have not determined that yet. I've got a funny feeling that's going to be a streaming deal.
Probably. Guess what? If it's a streaming deal and it doesn't involve either of the local teams, I'm out. I'm not watching it. On principle.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see about that.
It's easy to say in February.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Do you care at all in any way, shape, or form about the major controversy in the WWE with Cody Rhodes, The Rock, and Roman Reigns?
You know, I actually do because I find it fascinating. I've seen it on social media, whether it be you or some of the other people that I follow. I think Sam Roberts actually has done a great job breaking it down. But here's the thing. I know nothing about it. Just very surface stuff. So I've been trying to piece it together. And I guess, was it supposed to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman? Or how did CM Punk's injury impact this?
Okay, so this is what I can tell you. And this is pro wrestling, so you got to take everything with a grain of salt because you don't know. You may think you know everything, but you don't know everything.
But even I heard for years about the buildup with Rock and Roman Reigns.
Right. Well, okay, so they did build – well, they didn't really build it up, but like people thought it was going to happen. People expected it to happen. I had Roman on this podcast, asked him about it a bunch of times. There was a big WrestleMania last year at SoFi. Was that the year before? Where we thought it was going to happen, and it didn't happen because The Rock has a crazy schedule because he's a massive movie star. But then in the meantime, the main event last year was Cody versus Roman. And everyone thought Cody was going to win because Cody has this great story where he was in WWE, wasn't a top guy, left, basically helped create AEW, made it a big deal, came back to WWE. He's Dusty's kid, and it was finished the story. And, you know, the angle is, you know, Dusty never got to win the WWE title. Finished the story. And everyone expected him to win last year. And the WWE didn't do that. And people were pissed. But people also saw like, okay, build this up for a year. And then at this WrestleMania, he finishes the story and, you know, give it a year of buildup.
Right.
So everyone was expecting it to be Cody versus Roman, and Cody was going to win the belt finally and finish the story. He
especially after he wins the Royal Rumble.
Exactly. So he wins the Royal Rumble, and from what you read, again, you don't know. It's hard, you know, but it seems like the legitimate wrestling reporters out there, it was all set in stone. Then The Rock decided this was going to be the WrestleMania he can do his match. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of rumblings that the CM Punk injury did play a part in it, because it was going to be CM Punk versus Seth Rollins and then Cody versus Roman. CM Punk wasn't even with the company 3 months ago. So I find it hard to believe that we're changing all these plans because of CM Punk. Like, he literally just got here.
What about the Vince?
I don't buy that for a second.
Okay.
There's no way on. Maybe I'm naive. I find it hard to believe that Vince gets accused of sexual assault and all these horrific allegations. The WWE higher-ups have a meeting and say, well, let's get The Rock so people forget about it. Like, I just don't think, like, it's not going to work. Like, they're not going to forget about these allegations against Vince McMahon. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe, but I would find that impossible to believe. Plus, this is planned out. I mean,
right.
So the Royal Rumble thing is really what I think convinced people it would be Cody versus Roman. Now, if you're the WWE, okay, and The Rock wants to have a match, you're not saying no. He's The Rock. Like,
so how are they going to get out of this now with Cody backtracking and making him look bad? So I've read it. I didn't see anything.
Right.
But right.
There's a few things here. They can go through with their plan and have it be Rock versus Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, which will piss off the hardcore WWE fan, cause a lot of problems, and people aren't going to be happy. Because, you know, WrestleMania now is two nights.
Yeah.
So the other option, which is what I'm hoping we're all being worked, and this is all to make us look like assholes, and then they end up doing Roman versus The Rock on Saturday night, and then they could do Roman versus Cody on Sunday night. Here's the thing. Roman versus The Rock's not going to win the belt.
Right.
He's not going to be like the champion wrestling house shows and pay-per-views. He's a movie star. So you know Roman is not losing the belt to The Rock. I mean, if he does, it's going to be stupid. So,
so wouldn't they have been better off having that match with Roman already stripped?
Right, exactly. What they should have done is had Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania, have Cody win the belt, and then The Rock can wrestle Roman Reigns at SummerSlam for the head of the table. Rock versus Roman does not need the belt.
Right.
At all. They're wrestling for the head of the
worse.
They're wrestling for the head of the table. So the way out of it is Rock Roman Saturday, Roman wins, Roman Cody Sunday, Cody
now
wins the belt.
What about a pay-per-view before then? Is there anything that's before WrestleMania or not?
Yeah, but the whole point is people wanted to see Cody win the belt at WrestleMania. That's finishing the story, because last year we thought it was going to happen, and it takes something away if it's not at WrestleMania. The way they did it, though, was so bad. It was on SmackDown. He comes out and he says, oh, you know, I won the Royal Rumble, but I'm not going to take my match at WrestleMania. Well, like, no reason why. Like, the storyline of it made – it was not – that was a problem.
Well,
the storyline makes no sense.
Didn't Cody tweet something like, trust me? What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, that maybe they'll do the two nights and he'll get his shot on. So there's rumblings about, because they're having a big press conference in Vegas on Thursday, so this is going to be outdated, but there's big rumblings on Thursday that like The Rock and Roman are going to sign the contract, and then Cody's going to come out and say, I'm taking my Royal Rumble match, and then it's going to be two nights. I don't know, you know, how it plays out. But I'm torn, because nobody loves The Rock more than me. That's been established. I love Roman. He's on the pod all the time. Nicest guy. And I love Cody. I'm like, and I'm, you know, this is not really, you know, I'm in my 40s here getting upset about this.
But I could hear, and so are a lot of other people, I could hear you want to see Cody win.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And Rock and Roman doesn't need to be for the belt. Cody needs the belt. And it has to be WrestleMania.
You know who you should get on to talk about this?
Who?
Jim Cornette.
Oh, my God. I'd never get a WWE super. Like, I'm nervous even talking about this.
Fucking shit. Just fake, he'd be going, oh, my God. Fred thinks he's an actual champion. Oh,
he,
my God.
Listen, whenever I'm having bad shit go on in life and I need a laugh, I just put on the Jim Cornette Montreal Screwjob video.
Oh my God.
And I'm good to go for 20 minutes. Yeah. I already feel nervous. Like, I'm saying all this, and then I got to call WWE and be like, can I get Cody on the podcast? I'm going to be like, go fuck yourself. But
yeah.
Listen, it's the WWE's fault. They did a phenomenal job building Cody. The right. reason we all feel this way about Cody is because of how the WWE built it and what Cody did. So, plus, listen, I'm a total whore. Like, if you come on the podcast and you're great and I feel like we have a great conversation, I'm rooting for you. Give me Cody winning the belt. As soon as he came on, I'm like, he's great. I mean, he didn't tweet the podcast when he was on both times, but all right, I'll forgive that. But give me, you know, Roman's great. He comes on. The Rock hasn't been on, so maybe that's why I'm not into The Rock winning, but I, you know, but whatever. I keep checking to see if The Rock unfollows me every time I say we want Cody.
I doubt he's looking at the tweets from anybody on this timeline.
You know, you would think people should not ever look at tweets. Like, The Rock is someone who should never look at a tweet. He's The Rock. But how about, okay, so like the Dan Orlovsky thing this week, might as well get into this for a second.
Yeah, he's so sensitive.
Well, listen, I think I'm not going to fault the guy for being upset that someone called him a scrub on his own network. You know, you'd like a little, if it's someone on another network, you might not care, but the guy's on ESPN every day and he's really good at what he does. He had a great video. I put it in Train of Thoughts, but showing about the Chiefs offense, how they run this three wide receivers on this and how they're going to kill the Niners with this play. It was brilliant.
But why take yourself so seriously then? Dog didn't rip him as an analyst, which he is great at. He is, here's if why. Not the best, he's one of the best.
Listen, I think Dog was 100% kidding, trying to be funny, trying to be entertaining. He meant no malice whatsoever. But I also see the side of it where, like, if you're Dan Orlovsky, you're in the NFL for 12 years, you got a guy on your own network calling, I think the word scrub. Like, if Dog would have been like, oh, he wasn't even that good, I don't think Orlovsky would. The word scrub is harsh, I think.
He ran out of the back of the end zone on a play.
Okay, I mean, well, here's what I was going to say about this, what I found fascinating. So I posted the video that Orlovsky replied to and said,
you started this shit. You started
I know. I thought it was funny. I didn't think he, this is my point about me starting this. Did not tag or at mention Orlovsky.
Right.
And he doesn't follow me on Twitter. How did he see the video?
Good question. Well, I mean, I'm sure people got it play because it was, see, that's the thing that was funny. Like, I would have liked, and I do like Orlovsky. I would have liked to have seen him, like, did he have to take classes? He can go back at Dog and have some fun with him and rip him for certain things. But, like, it felt like he took it so seriously where, dude, the reality is, in relative comparison to others, like, you were a scrub. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He made the NFL. I get it. He's a great analyst. But come on, stop taking yourself so seriously.
I don't disagree with you, but I see his standpoint of it. I think if you were a professional athlete, this word scrub hits you in a certain way. That's what I think. And I think also he responded to that tweet. Again, I don't know how he saw it, but he responded to it immediately. So in that heat of the moment, like, I think if you said to him now, 2 days later, here's the other thing about this. He's on with Dog today at 5:30.
Oh, okay. There you go. So they're fine.
Yeah. So,
Dog will give the old, you know, we love you, pal.
Right. Exactly. I think it was just his initial reaction to he's looking at ESPN, his own network, and the word scrub hit him a certain way. I don't fault him for that. But again, too, you and I, we know Dog. If you don't know Dog, you don't understand.
I know. I get it.
Yeah. The Boomer and Geo thing this week was phenomenal. Booking the wrong Randy Moss. Give me some internal WFAN reaction to that.
Everybody around here thinks it's hilarious. The guys behind the scenes that stay back were telling me about it. They emailed me the clip. They're like, you got to hear this. I watched it twice yesterday in its entirety. It's so good. The moment where Geo realizes it, and I was like, no, it's priceless to me. It was so fucking great.
Well, what made it great is how they found out, because Geo, and for people who maybe around the country may not know, so Boomer and Geo, morning show on WFAN in New York, but also they're on CBS Sports Network across the country. Geo's a big Vikings fan.
Yeah.
So he's talking about how he packed shit to bring to Vegas for Randy Moss to sign, and then says to the producer, Al Dukes, he goes, oh, by the way, what is, because everyone who comes on any show during this horrific week is promoting something. He goes, so what's he promoting? And Al Dukes said something about horse racing. And that's when it clicked. It was the way they found out that made it.
Oh, as Gio said, now it turned out to be very funny, but Gio was like, man, if I didn't say anything, this guy would have showed up and Al would have been like, oh, where's Randy Moss? And he would be like, I am Randy Moss. And Al would have been like, you're not Randy Moss. Oh, man. It could have been even funnier, but it was so great.
It was. I think this may have been just as funny because here you have Gio talking about how he packed stuff for the guy to sign.
Yeah.
And then just casually, very casually, he's like, oh, what's he coming on to promote? And Al Duke says horse racing, and Boomer and Gio are like, you know, this is Randy Moss who covers horse racing.
And Al's trying to blame the PR people.
Right.
That's on Al. Right. Al, you got to read the whole email. Like, I love Al and it's funny. But
well, as soon as he read the email on the air, and as soon as it said NBC analyst, you got to know that's not.
Right. That's not
Randy Moss is on ESPN. Moss. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, last thing here before we go, Super Bowl betting, wagering. I know you're clean right now. I don't know if you're going to dip in, but if you didn't dip in, like give me what it's the Niners. Are they still too? Let me get the line here on DraftKings.
I'm going to root for the Niners. I think they've been the better team all year long. I think the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl. Okay, I've been betting against the Chiefs. I've been picking against the Chiefs all playoff long. I'm going to go down with the ship one more ride. I can't go against. I can't go with them now after picking against them all playoff long, so I'm going to pick the Niners in this one.
Will you bet? You'll do -2? If you were betting.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't love the idea of laying points. I'd rather get a -1 or maybe tease it. You tease it down and have some fun with it, but I think the Niners are going to win. I bet the Niners if I had to bet anything, yeah.
The money line is only -122.
Then I would do that if it's only -122. Just pick the winner, and away we go.
I'm going to bet the Chiefs.
All right. I mean, I understand why. I get it.
I'm going to bet the Chiefs. It used to be fun. Like, I would give you, 50 prop bets. But I feel like every site, every podcast, everybody does it now. It's, I don't know. All the fun's been taken out of it by all these stragglers coming in. Oh, prop bet. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it now. We used to have fun with it, but... I'll probably bet a couple of Mahomes props, some Christian McCaffrey props, but I'm going to bet the Chiefs. And now, what's the plan to watch the game?
I'll be home. It's our last time in the setup. This is it. Last football game with the theater downstairs is getting ready to move, and that's it. So I'll have my family over and watch it.
The family will be over. Okay.
Yeah.
So you get the sister and mom and all
that. Yeah, my sister, her kids, my mom. Yeah.
What are we doing for food?
We have to discuss that. My mother, I'm talking to my sister. I'm like, let's not do too much. Wings, pizza, maybe. My mom's already like, nobody talk to me. I'm bringing ZD. I'm like, oh my God. Like, we don't need a full tray of big ZD, mom. And then my sister will make some stuff. And then we order pizza and it's too much.
I'd rather have the ZD than the pizza and wings.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, I know. But it's just that, I'll talk to you when I get around to it. We'll see what you can make.
Right.
I'll take the ZD, I guess. But we don't need too much.
Well, skip the wings and the pizza. Just have the ziti.
What do you got? You'll be home?
Yeah, because I got to listen. I got to write about Nance and Romo the next day. So I can't have it. I got to be able to listen. I got to listen. And I'm not DVRing. That bullshit is not. I got to be in live. So
I get it.
All right. Any house update before we go?
Funny you should ask.
Oh, shit.
Breaking news.
Oh, my God. I'm nervous.
We went, I think it was last Saturday, and saw a house that we had seen before. Remember the house that I told you that we saw that they accepted the offer, but then it was contingent on them selling?
Yeah.
We saw that house the same time as we saw this house, and we liked that house better and kind of ignored this house, and it went off the market, whatever. Got an email saying, or a text from our agent saying, hey, this could be the break you're looking for. This house, something fell apart. It's back on the market. And we're like, we didn't love it enough last time. Let's go see it. We saw it. We loved it better this time. I don't know why that is. Maybe because there's no furniture or whatever in there.
You've been beaten to a pulp. That's
why. Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe desperation. Everything looks better,
Yeah. Yeah.
The beer goggles, whatever you want to say, 3 a.m. Everything looks better at the club.
Exactly, yeah.
But... we made an offer. We were waiting to hear back. It was accepted.
Wow.
And now we can begin the process like a normal
but accepted buyer. And it's done and it's finished and you're moving.
But,
you have a
but this has, it's not contingent on them selling anything. Like, it's done as far as they sold listed the house, we made an offer, no bidding war, nonsense, bull crap. We made a significant offer over the S, but whatever. We got the acceptance, and we're going into contract now.
I feel like Shelby should insert Cool and the Gang celebration right here for people. Now, what's the next step?
So actually, just before I got on the phone with you, I was talking to the lawyer. They sent over the agreement, whatever. The lawyers now talk about the actual contract. It goes into, right now, I think it's an attorney review. Then when all is good there, then we are technically in contract. Then you have to get the inspections done and all that stuff. But because the sellers are already out of the house and looking to sell, this should happen. And we're ready to buy and we need to be out by the end of March. This should happen within a 3-week time frame.
Oh, okay. So this is all right. We got a big 3-week. All right. 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So at the end of the 3 weeks, all the that's when you would physically move?
Correct. Like actually own the house and be able to move in. We probably won't move in until the end of March, but we should be in possession of a new house in Jersey by hopefully the beginning of March.
I wish we had a live audience right now. Like, I wish, you know, when like podcasts do like live shows, because if we had an audience and this was a live show, I'd go like this to the crowd right now. Just give me a round of applause. Who out there thinks Sal set this whole thing up so he would get this house when the football season ended and he could get the full season in his house, in his basement theater setup, and this was maybe planned out by how convenient the football season ends. Oh, we have a house now.
Unbelievable. And we have to be out by the end of March. So that window that was basically shrunk to like, oh, we're screwed. We did catch a bit of a break. It's a happy ending. And it's funny, I didn't think you were going to bring it up today. And I had it. I was going to be like, what? No update on that. No, you're not going to ask me about the house? Of all the weeks, this is the one to ask me about the house. We got breaking news. By the way, I haven't said this on the air yet either, so you are breaking news here.
I'm a good host. I dragged it out and made everyone listen to the end. That dick move that hosts do. We have big news, but we're going to save it for the end. You know.
Yeah, so the old tease. Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of topics, but that's a good ending. Good ending. Yeah. All right, enjoy the Super Bowl. Let's get you through now the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted.
I'm still shook from your ridiculous Travis Kelce take.
Oh, stop it.
And Cody Rhodes better be in the main event at WrestleMania. That's the recap of this segment. All right, Sal, take it easy.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye. All right, my many, many thanks to Jim Nance. Appreciate him coming on in this busy week. My thanks to Sal Licata, as always. And just a quick reminder, if you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, make sure you dip into the archives. Give those a listen as soon as you can. Great episodes, great guests in recent weeks. Brian Curtis from The Ringer last week. Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football 2 weeks ago. Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson 3 weeks ago. So give those a listen. Subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Leave a review on Apple if you can. And enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.